encouragement. You just keep taking care of that baby. Encouragement is something the Bible says quite a bit about, actually. And the passage I want to begin with is the one found here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, where Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he encourages them to encourage each other. A little bit about the context here. Paul had established the church in Thessalonica. He and Silas, and they had worked there and preached the gospel there and established the church there, but they got ran out of town. And there was still persecution going on. So it was early days. The church was young. There was lots of trouble. Easy for people to get discouraged. Not really well grounded yet in the faith. Not real strong. Paul had to be away. So they couldn't rely upon him immediately for teaching and encouragement. And so Paul writes to them a couple of letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And he tries to encourage them to remain faithful, to remain true to the Lord. But one of the things he says to them here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, he says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Notice that he doesn't say, be encouraged. He doesn't say, receive encouragement. He says, encourage. And that's an imperative verb. It means you do that. You encourage each other. I can't be there. But you're all there together, you Christians in Thessalonica. And you need to stand together, help each other, comfort each other, encourage each other. The word that's used here, and in most of the passages we're going to be looking at tonight that use the same word, the Greek word is parakaleo. It's kind of an interesting word. Para means alongside, and kaleo means to call alongside. And so you can think of it in these terms. You know, you're going into battle, or you're going into a predicament or a dangerous situation, and you're part of a group, you're part of a team. And you call to your teammates, you call to your fellow soldiers, you call to them and say, come on, come with me. Let's stand together here. Parakaleo means to entreat, to exhort, to admonish, to comfort, to encourage, to console. It's a powerful word. In English, it means to instill courage in someone. And the truth of the matter is that we all kind of have a need for that, don't we? We all need encouragement because we get discouraged, we get down, we get beaten down by life and by the difficulties of life, the challenges of life. Things don't go our way. The world certainly discourages us in our spiritual efforts. There's not much of anything out there in the civil and social and workplace world that's going to give you any encouragement whatsoever in your faith. In fact, quite the opposite. Very often it'll be quite discouraging. The way people act, the way they talk, the way they behave, it can be very discouraging. And it's tough. And sometimes we get down. We just get beat down and broke down, and we just lose focus. We lose our hope. We lose our sense of being in God's grace, and we just get discouraged, and we need encouragement. I've been watching some of the Olympics this past couple of weeks, and you'll all be familiar with the exercise where the athlete is out there, and he's striving, and he's trying, or she's running, or she's trying, and in the stands and around them, There are teammates. There are people who are shouting and encouraging. They're saying, you can do this. Come on. Try harder. And in those team sports, it's a constant thing. I watched the volleyball today. Every single play, after every single play, they're slapping each other. They're patting each other. They're talking to each other. And they're encouraging each other. Because they have to maintain a high level of intensity, of effort. And it's tough to compete at that level against the best competitors in the world. And the team is urging you on, the crowd is urging you on, because we need it. We need encouragement. And when we feel alone, when we feel isolated, when we feel it's all on us and there's nobody there to support us, it can be downright discouraging. And that's no more true than it is in our faith, in our religion. It's the reason why the Lord has a church. Because we're supposed to help each other, encourage each other, strengthen one another to get through this world into our home in heaven. And so we're told, we are commanded, we're instructed, encourage each other in the service of God. It's one of the central purposes of our fellowship. Now, every time I get up here and I preach, and every time I get up here and I teach, I am encouraging. I'm encouraging you to do the right thing. It's kind of my job. But I'll remind you again, the passage doesn't say, let the preacher encourage you. It's not like going to a movie. You know, you go to a movie and you just sit down and you just flop down there in the seat and you don't have to do a thing. You just watch all the people in the movie, and they do all the hard work, and they do all the acting, and they do all of the strenuous stunts, and you just get there, sit there and enjoy it. Well, that's not what church is supposed to be. Church is not a spectator sport. Church is an interactive, all of us involved, all of us working together, enterprise. We're supposed to be encouraging each other. And so I ask you to ask yourself, what are you doing that fits this bill? What are you doing that constitutes encouraging your fellow Christians? Well, I know you're doing some things, and I see some of those things. But we need to do more to encourage each other, to stimulate one another, to spur one another on. So let's look at some passages. Look here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Here we read the story of Barnabas, who's sent to the church in Antioch. The church in Antioch is brand new. The first Gentile Christians, really the first Gentile congregation. And the church in Jerusalem send Barnabas. Why do they send Barnabas? Because Barnabas, that's really his nickname, and it means son of encouragement. And he's good for his name. He goes up there, and what does he do? He encourages those brethren. It says in Acts 11, 23, then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And that's exactly what we ought to do. Remain true to the Lord. Brethren, we've got to remain true to the Lord. And in order to do that, we've got to keep our courage up. And one of the important things we have to do to make sure that happens is to encourage one another. Just like Barnabas did the church in Antioch. What do you suppose fit the bill here for Barnabas? He talked to those brethren. There were conversations that were taking place between him and these brethren. And he was saying things to them. And he was saying to them, you can do this. We're in this together. The Lord is with us. The Lord won't let you down. With resolute heart, encouraging one another. Acts chapter 16, verse 40. Here Paul and Silas, they get put in prison, beaten and put in prison. After having converted some people and established a church there in Philippi, they got thrown into prison. And they got beaten. And then they finally get out of prison. And what do? It says they went out of the prison. Acts 16:40. They went out of the prison and entered the houses of Lydia And when they saw the brethren, they just slumped down and they said, "Oh, we are in bad shape. You guys got to need to, you just need to take care of us for a while, because we've had a hard couple of days here. You know, we got beaten, we got thrown in prison, and we are down. You just got to help us out." No, they encouraged the other brethren and departed. They said, "Look, this was tough. I know this is scary, but you can do this. Look, the Lord delivered us. We got thrown into prison, but look what happened. The Lord miraculously opened the doors of the prison, and we converted the jailer, and he and his household are now Christians. Look what the Lord's doing for us. We can do this." What a wonderful story about encouragement. And you know, see, that's kind of the problem we have sometimes, is we don't feel very encouraging. You know, I don't feel like I'm really in the position to encourage, maybe, because I got my own problems. Well, you think Paul and Silas didn't have problems? Of course they did. But they cared about those brethren and what they were doing, and they encouraged them. Acts chapter 18, verse 27, when he wanted to go across to Achaia, that's talking about Apollos. Apollos is new to the faith. He had just been instructed more carefully in the word. You know, he'd gotten some things wrong, and that can be kind of discouraging. Here you are preaching and teaching, and suddenly you find out, man, you were wrong about some things, and you had to correct that. And, you know, that can kind of take you down a peg or two. But he wanted to continue to preach and to teach, and so he wanted to go across to Achaia. He was there in Ephesus. He wanted to go across to Greece. And the brethren said, "Oh, you know, man, Apollos, you're still kind of young. Maybe you need to just kind of hold off, you know, maybe learn a little more, and you know, no." They said, "You go, boy." All right. They encouraged him and the disciples to welcome him, and when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. He helped those brethren over there in Achaia. My life as a young man starting out preaching, taking classes and learning and growing, all my life I've had people who have encouraged me. When I first started preaching as a teenager in my home congregation, the elders encouraged me. I talked about the Bible that they gave me. All three of those elders signed that Bible. They encouraged me, and they said, "You should do this." And I had Bible class teachers who encouraged me and said, "You can do more." And I had elderly women, mothers in the faith, who encouraged me, who would give me support and comfort, and providing meals, and I'd who put me up in their homes. And I don't know where I'd be without all that. You know, we need to think seriously about the young people, young evangelists. Think about that. We need to encourage these fellows, because they can go on and be of great help to the church. Not only Romans 1, 11 and 12, "For I long to see you," Paul writes to the Roman brethren. "I long to see you." He goes on to say, "that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by others' faith, both yours and mine." What a wonderful statement for the Apostle Paul to write. He doesn't just write to them and say, "I need to come encourage you, brethren." He says, "I want to come encourage you, and let you encourage me." It's kind of a reciprocal relationship, isn't it? The more I encourage you and build you up and strengthen you, the more capable and able you're going to be to encourage me. And we just like the proverb says, iron sharpens iron. And the sharper and stronger we get, the more capable and able we are to sharpen and strengthen one another. And that's exactly what Paul is saying in this passage. I want to come see you. I want to encourage you. You see the attitude that Christians ought to have toward each other? A lot of times, we don't feel this way about our fellow Christians. We get kind of a negative attitude about them, say, well, you know, they're not too good. They're kind of ignorant, and kind of hypocritical, and you know, and we just get a negative attitude sometimes. And when that happens, we don't long to see each other. Sometimes we get to a point where we just don't care to see one another. And the right attitude is, I want to encourage them. I know they're not perfect. I know they're deficient in many ways. So am I. I want to encourage them, and I want them to encourage me. That's the relationship that I want. That's the attitude that we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. He's writing to some brethren who have some real differences with each other. In 1 Corinthians, he writes about problem after problem, division after division, disagreement after disagreement that these brethren had in the church in Corinth. And when a church gets like that, they're kind of fussing and they're disagreeing and everything. You know, it's just not encouraging. And Paul says as much in 1 Corinthians. He says, you know, when you come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. But he doesn't say, just stop coming together. Just avoid each other because you're not helping each other. He doesn't say that. He says, no. You get together and you work out your differences and you come together and you be of the same mind and the same judgment and you encourage each other. Encourage each other. Be united. Be in agreement. Because just because you have problems doesn't mean that you're off the hook. You're absolved of your responsibility. Brothers, sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. This is always and will always be our objective as brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage each other. Come together. Speak to one another. Encouraging words. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, I have great confidence in you. Great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all your troubles. My joy in all our is no bounds. I think about the Apostle Paul. He goes from town to town preaching the gospel. A lot of times he gets rejected and persecuted and sometimes beaten up and sometimes put in prison. And he has trouble. Trouble after trouble after trouble. But one thing that always encouraged him when he heard about Christians continuing in their faith, the church growing and prospering, it encouraged him. We sometimes don't look on the Apostle Paul as somebody who needed encouragement. He says right there he did. We need to be faithful, brethren. We need to be faithful not only to the Lord, but to the Lord's church, because that's one and the same thing. We need to be faithful in church attendance. We need to be faithful in communication and faithful in the exercise of our fellowship. Fellowship. Because without those connections, without that communication, without that togetherness, we're not going to be able to encourage each other. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. Colossians chapter 2, 1 and 2, he says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together. You know, your sacrifices, your behavior, your faithfulness, it can have an effect upon people who never even know you personally. And that's certainly true in this day and time when you've got social media, you got Facebook and things. You know, people hear about one another and the troubles that they go through. And there are people here in this congregation who get sick and who have illnesses and who deal with things and who people pray for them, and word gets out about that. And when we pull together, and when we help each other, and when we encourage each other, it sends out these ripples, these waves, if you will, of encouragement to saints and brothers and sisters in places that you may not even be aware of. And when we help brethren overseas, and when we help brethren in other places, and when we have relationships with each other that's obviously showing love, knit together in love, that's encouraging. It's kind of a web of encouragement, the full dimensions and effect of which we cannot even possibly begin to appreciate. But we need to engage in it and assume that the effects and the results will be good. The Lord will see to it. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. You know, I go through things. You go through things. But we see each other. We see what our brothers and sisters go through and how they deal with it. And I got to say, through the years, in this congregation, in other congregations, I have seen brothers and sisters deal with very difficult circumstances, with illnesses and family trouble and financial trouble. And I've seen them deal with it. And I've seen them stand up and remain faithful to the Lord. And that's incredibly encouraging. You have to know that your trouble and your challenges and meeting them as a brother or sister and being faithful to the Lord, that matters. That absolutely matters. That's not just you. That's us. That's the Lord's body. That's the Lord's church. We were encouraged about you because of your faith. Brethren, you encourage me. When you're faithful, you encourage me. And I hope that I can do the same for you. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 and 18. Paul writes to the brethren about what will happen to those who have died in the Lord, died in the faith. And he talks about the resurrection. And he says how we'll be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. He says this, therefore encourage one another with these words. And that's exactly what we ought to do. When we deal with these problems and difficulties, especially when we deal with death, we need to speak to each other and say, brother, sister, I know that you've lost a loved one, but they were in the Lord, and we will be together again, and that will be so wonderful. And encourage each other with those words, and be encouraged by them as well, because that's what it's all about. Our faith is not just some kind of personally held, isolated to ourselves thing. Our faith is mutual. Our faith is held together. And when I express my faith to you and you express your faith to me, that's encouraging. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Encourage the faint-hearted. Sometimes we do get faint-hearted. And that means we're discouraged, and we just kind of feel like giving up, and sometimes our brethren get that way, and what should we do? We should encourage the faint-hearted. I've read many stories about people in survival situations, and I've expressed this to you before. So very often, the difference between the person who survives and the person who doesn't survive is loss of hope. Because surviving is challenging and difficult, and you just get to the point where you just want to give up. And it's always so much better if there's somebody there who says, don't give up. Who holds them, picks them up, says, you can get through this. You can meet this challenge. We're going to get through this together. I don't know how many stories I've read about a situation where somebody encouraged someone else in a situation like that, in a prison camp, in a gulag somewhere, who helped a friend or a companion through a period in which they just wanted to give up, and they were there for them and got them through it. And that's exactly what we need to do for each other. Because sometimes it's you that's faint-hearted and sometimes it's me. And we need to encourage each other. Titus chapter 2, 6 through 7. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled and everything. Set them as an set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness. This is Paul's instruction to Titus, an evangelist. But you know, we all need to encourage the young. Encourage them to live true to the Lord, to do the right thing. It's difficult. It's always difficult to be young. It's always difficult when you're growing up and you're meeting challenges in your life and the call of the world is strong. Encourage those young people. Tell them that you've been there too, that they can get through this, that they can do the right thing. We need those young people. We need them to remain true to the Lord. The church does. We do. The Lord does. We need to be there for them, to encourage them to do that. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encouragement is not a one and done thing. It's not something that you can just do occasionally. It's something you've got to think about. Now here's the deal. None of us encourage as we ought to all the time. We just don't. It takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of effort. But if we're all putting in the effort and we're all looking for opportunities and every day we're thinking about, you know, what can I do to encourage my brother or encourage that brother or that sister? And every once in a while we actually step up and we do something, then it's just like licks. And it gets done. This brother encourages this brother. This sister encourages this sister. And the next day or the next week, somebody else does it. But we're all putting in our stroke of the oar. We're all doing what we can. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today. Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What are we doing here? What are we doing here tonight? We're encouraging each other. And you know that your presence is encouraging. You've got to know that your presence is encouraging. And you've got to know that your absence is discouraging. You know that, right? What if I came in here to preach this sermon and none of you were here? You all took off, you all did something else, and the house was empty. You know how discouraging that would be? I just sit down and put my head between my hands, I guess. Well, if you're not here, then you're adding a little bit to that possibility. But when we're all here, when we all come together, well, I know, you know, people are sick and they have work and they get out of town. I'm not talking about that. But when you know that a brother or sister could be here and they're not here, that's discouraging. When you got a brother or sister and if they can be here, they're here. And they are here and they're here. That's encouraging. You see the difference between those two things? It's like going to play a game and the stands are empty, you know. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging. The opposite of that is encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In conclusion, brethren, you must look for opportunities to encourage each other. Look for them. It's not going to happen by accident. It's a purposeful exercise. And it's only going to happen if you start thinking about it. What can I do? What can I say? What note can I write? What call can I make? What conversation can I engage in? What can I do that's going to be encouraging to that brother or sister? Look for it. Look for those who need it. There are brethren here who need encouraging. Look for them. Do something about it. Think what you might say that would help give them strength. Let's all do that. Make an effort. That's my sermon. I encourage you to do it. you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. Because being a Christian is entering into an eternal family of mutual love and comfort with our Heavenly Father, the very top of the family, Jesus Christ. Eternal experience of love, kindness, and peace. I encourage you to seek that for yourself in your life. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel now. Declare your faith in Jesus. Turn from sin. And be baptized. I encourage you to do that. But that's your decision. If you want to come forward and say that you will, come right now as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.